Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series talking about the believer's authority. We are basically dealing with the fact that we are in a spiritual war, that there is an opposition out there, the devil and his kingdom, and that God has invested every born-again believer with the power and the authority to overcome the devil. And I tell you, I've already spent over a week teaching on this. I've got a brand new book out on this entitled The Believer's Authority. What You Didn't Learn in Church is the subtitle. This is a brand new book and also our study guide. I've already advertised these a lot. I won't go back through it, but I am excited about this. I believe that this is going to help people. I've already talked about the first week we emphasized that there is a spiritual war and our lack of understanding that there are spiritual forces behind what's going on in our physical body, in our finances, in our relationships. A lack of understanding that is one of the reasons that Satan is beating most people, because we just are trying to deal with things in a humanistic type of way. You've got to recognize there are demonic powers and we have to take our authority over them. Then yesterday I began to start talking about what authority does the devil have? And we started dealing with this and I got into some examples and talked about how that I basically got caught up into overemphasizing Satan's power. And I think that this is probably typical. It's a shame that it ever happens, but you know, there was a guy that wrote a book, As the Pendulum Swings, and he had on the front of the book a pendulum and showed how it would go to one extreme over here, and when it stopped and you let go, it was automatically, it wouldn't ever come back and just stop right where it should be, but it always tends to go the other direction. And this is the way that things go. People are over here believing that Satan doesn't even exist, that all of the demons are in some witch doctor in Africa, and when they finally realize that that's not true and that demons operate, it's nearly inevitable that people go too far the other direction and they go to seeing a demon on every doorknob. Well, that's what happened with me, and I got to where we were doing some strange things. I won't tell you about all of them. It isn't one of the pretty chapters in my life. But I just got thrown into casting demons out of people. We saw people delivered of dope and different things. And so the results was there. People started coming. I didn't know what to do. So we read these books. We were told that you could never cast a demon out by yourself because the demons are so powerful they might have come into you, and that you got to have two people there, one to pray and intercede while the other one is doing it. You got to cast them out into the pit. You couldn't just cast them out or they'd go inhabit somebody. There was just all this weird stuff. We were told that people had to throw up in a bucket, that there had to be some physical manifestation. You had to ask them their name. A friend of mine one time was trying to cast a demon out, and he says, "What's your name?" And his demon says, "Liar." And he says, "Are you telling me the truth?" You know, when you stop and think about it, it's really not very smart to be asking the demons their name. In the fifth chapter of the book of Mark, Jesus did ask the man named Legion, "What's your name?" And the demon said, "Legion, because we are many." It happened one time. I'm not saying you couldn't do it, but it is. We just got into all of this weirdness. And anyway, let me just cut it short by telling you this one example that it kind of culminated to where we had so many things we were doing. We made people fill out questionnaires. We would prep them for 2 and 3 weeks. It'd take 2 months to get an appointment because we were dealing with people and going back into their background and how were you when you were a kid. It just all of this weirdness that is still being done today. And we were doing all of these things. And finally, this one guy who we had been working with for about 3 weeks, he was a homosexual. And he wanted to have those spirits cast out of him. I believe that homosexuality is a demonic spirit. I know that many of you probably disagree with that. You're free to have your opinion, but I'm not going to agree with you or we'd both be wrong. Amen. I believe it's a demonic spirit. And I've seen those spirits cast out of people and people just totally set free. So anyway, we had been prepping this guy for 3 or 4 weeks, and he wasn't scheduled to come and get deliverance yet, but he finally just reached a place to where he was convinced he was going to come and he was going to get delivered of these demons and get free of that homosexuality that night. So this is still when I was in the Baptist church. He came over to a Wednesday night service. He brought another person who was demon-possessed with him, another homosexual who had demons, and he wanted to see what was going to happen to his friend, to see if he wanted to go through this. And so they came and they asked for me. And again, we were taught that you had to have two people to cast demons out. And so the guy that usually he and I did this, the associate pastor of the church, he was gone to a conference someplace and he wasn't there. So I told this guy, I said, I can't cast these demons out of you. There's only one person here. Which, you know what? Jesus cast demons out without having other people around. He told us to go cast out devils. That's not a scriptural model. But anyway, that's where I was at the time. So this guy said, I'm not leaving. I'm getting rid of these demons. I'm not leaving this place with them. And I said, well, I'm not casting them out. And he says, well, you better do something because these demons are coming out right here in this place. So what I did was get Jamie. This is before Jamie and I were married. And I took her back there with me. And we went into one of these rooms. And I was talking to this guy and I said, look, I'm not dealing with this. And he said, yes, you are. And he just fell on the floor and he got to barking like a dog and slithering like a snake. And this was a corner room in this building, and two sides of this room were glass. And he started taking chairs and throwing them against this glass. And I thought he was going to break the glass. And this guy just manifested all of these demons right there. And without me wanting to do it, I was in the midst of a deliverance and I didn't know what to do. The other guy who was demon possessed, we had chairs that were stacked up. It was in a classroom that wasn't being used, and the chairs were stacked up like 10 high or something, one on top of the other. And this other demon possessed guy was on top of those chairs up against the ceiling, plastered against the wall. He was scared so much he didn't know what he was doing. So he was up there. Jamie was praying in tongues just as fast and furious as she could go. This guy was, you know, slithering around on the floor like a snake and barking like a dog, and I didn't know what was happening. And we were taught that you had to ask them your name. So I asked, what's their name? And so one would name itself, and I'm homosexuality or I'm something. And before I could even deal with that and cast that spirit out, another one would start talking, and I'm this and that. And he had, like, I don't know, at least 10 or 15 demons. And you know what? I felt like I was being made an absolute fool of. I didn't know what I was doing. I couldn't get one demon cast out before another one name itself, and all these things were going on, and I didn't know what to do, and I just was calling out to God for help. And all of a sudden, it came back to my remembrance that Jesus forbid the devils to speak, told them to keep hold their peace and come out. And I thought, well, now that would be a good way to do it. It had never dawned on me. So I just said, I command all of you to shut up and come out of this man right now in Jesus' name. And this guy all of a sudden just fell flat like he was dead. And I didn't know if he was dead. I didn't know. I went and I rolled him over to see what was happening. And when he rolled over, he was just praising God. And he says, I'm free. They're gone. And he was praising God. And I thought, man, that's a lot easier than the way we've been doing it. Ask them their name, having them throw up in a bucket and do all this stuff. And I said, why don't we do it this way from now on? And I just threw away this book that I'd been reading, and I started going by that and started dealing with things. But that was a turning point in my life, because prior to that time, we had just given Satan so much power that actually there were some demonic things beginning to happen in my life that I believe happened just because of my preoccupation with the devil. During this same period of time, I rented a building and we were going to open up an Arlington, Texas Christian Center is what I called it. And we were going to take in dopers and drug addicts because we'd been seeing them getting delivered and instantly set free without withdrawals. And so we were going to start casting demons out of people and doing things. So we rented a house. It was right on the edge of the University of Texas at Arlington campus. And it had actually been a fraternity house, and the thing was trash. So we went and cleaned it up and we had painted it. And I was up there one night about 1 o'clock in the morning and I was praying. And as I prayed, something physically attacked me. I know some of you don't believe this stuff, but I can't help it. This is what my testimony is. You're just going to have to you're going to have to accept it or at least listen to it, because it's just the way that it was. There was nobody else in that house, but something physically attacked me. I believe it was because it was a fraternity house and all of the ungodliness and corruption that had gone on in that place. There was probably some demonic powers in that deal. And anyway, something physically attacked me. I was choking. Things were hitting me. I mean, I had bruises and physical evidence on my body that there was something there, and yet there was nothing there. It wasn't physical. It was spiritual. And when this first happened, man, I got out of that place. I locked the door. I got in my car. I backed out. It was like 1 or 2 in the morning, and I was just getting ready to pull that thing down into drive and get out of there as fast as I could. And right about the time I was backing out of the driveway, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Andrew, he says, there isn't any armor for the back. And that was a reference to Ephesians chapter 6, about you have to stand and put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And when he said there isn't any armor for the back, I knew exactly what that meant, that you had to face your enemy. You couldn't run from him. If this was truly demonic and spiritual, I couldn't get away from it by driving out of the place. I needed to fight it. And I remember sitting right in the middle of that street, getting ready to leave and thinking, God, you would not want me to go back into that house and fight these demonic things. And you know what? The Lord never said anything else. I didn't hear anything else. You know, the Lord's not going to argue with you. He just told me there wasn't any armor for the back, and then it was left up to me what I was going to do with it. So I sat there for a while. I pulled back in the driveway, turned the car off, and finally I went in there and locked myself in that house. And from about 2 o'clock or whatever, 2 or 3 in the morning until daybreak, I got in there and fought. And I mean, there was things physically attacking me. You may or may not believe that, but that's what happened. And I just stood my ground and spoke to them. And you know what? By daybreak, that thing was gone. It was broken. People who were coming over and painting the house and doing things, they made comment about, man, this is different. Everything feels different. You know, people don't always understand what they feel, but they can feel whether there's an oppression or whether there's a freedom in a place. And people told the difference. Also, during that same period of time, I had some dreams. And in these dreams, I won't go into the details, but Satan attacked me physically. There was all these demonic things happening. And you know why I believe that that happened? It's because I was so focused on the devil. We were always casting out the devil. I was actually... empowering Satan and giving Satan more attention than what he deserved. I remember during this same period of time, I was praying, and it dawned on me. I'd spend 2 to 3 hours a day praying, and one day it just dawned on me that during what I was calling prayer, I actually was speaking to the devil more than I was talking to God. I was saying, Satan, I rebuke you, I bind you. And I spent more time talking to the devil than I did to God during my prayer time. And it dawned on my lightning fast mind that that wasn't right. And I just was so preoccupied with the devil that that preoccupation, whatever you focus on gets magnified. And I was so focused on the devil and what he was doing in people's lives that in my mind, Satan was being magnified. And that's the reason that he was able to come against me and physically attack me and attack me in these dreams. When I made this decision and I just cast the demons out of that man who was homosexual and saw him free, and I saw how easy it was, I realized I had been giving undue power and authority to the devil, that he was not who he claimed to be. And I started changing, and I started spending more time talking to God in prayer than I did the devil. I started just focusing on God. And you know, that was back around 1972 or something like that. And I can say that since 1972 to the present, I have never had those same any kind of demonic manifestation in my life like I did back then. I'm not saying that it wasn't demonic. I'm not saying that it didn't exist. But I'm saying there is a reason why some people have all of these demonic occurrences. Sometimes it could be out and out fear. It could be that through your actions, you have given place to the devil. You've invited Satan into your life. Or, like in my case, I wasn't personally submitted to the devil, but I was spending so much time rebuking and thinking and focusing on the devil that I actually had given him more credit than he deserved. And because of that, there was demonic things happening. Since that time, I have seen hundreds or thousands of demons cast out of people. And now I command them to shut up. I don't let them manifest. Matter of fact, just this last week, there was a man who, as I talked to him, was doing all kinds of weird things and going through his facial contortions and jerking and doing stuff and groaning and making noises. And he told me he had demons. And so I agreed with him and rebuked those things. And as he was making some of these things, I told him to stop. And he said, "Well, I'm trying to stop." And I said, "That's just, look, I've already cast the devil out." I said, "Now you stop this stuff." And he says, "I can." And I said, "If you do it again, I'm going to slap you." And you know what? He stopped. Amen. There's a lot of people that have been taught that you've got to go through these things and you've got to have these manifestations. And some of it is just carnal junk. You know, I've given a lot of examples. I really want to get into just sharing these things from the Word. But I'm saying all of this to kind of position my point here that, you know what, there's a ditch on both sides of the road. It's certainly wrong for people to believe that all of the demons are with a witch doctor in Africa. But it's certainly wrong for us to get to where we see a demon on every doorknob, that every single problem is a demon, that you get to amplifying it. And like I said, basically, the non-spirit-filled church has been in this ditch over here to where they don't even acknowledge that Satan is a factor. The spirit-filled church, at least a portion of it, the spiritual warfare people, the intercession people, have gotten into a ditch in the other area to where they are causing problems. And, you know, I don't want to mention names here, but I do know people who went to get deliverance and had to go through a huge process, not like the Bible says, where you just rebuke the devil and cast him out. But they went through this huge process. And the very first time they went, they did have some hurts and some things that I believe were demonic. And this person got delivered of it. And with it, there were some physical manifestations. And the very first time, the person really got helped. And it helped them so much that they just went back and submitted to these people. And these people begin to start on a weekly basis doing this and going back into the childhood and picturing themselves in the womb and all of these hurts, which I think is just total foolishness. And they just kept doing it. And anyway, this person over a period of time got so bad that they nearly lost their mind. They got committed to a mental institution. And they were about to lose their marriage. They had made an absolute fool of themselves. And I believe that they became demonized through the deliverance ministry who was giving place to all of this stuff. There's a balance here. Yes, Satan exists. This attitude that he doesn't exist and everything is human is wrong. But on the other hand, there is some personal responsibility. Even the man in the fifth chapter of the book of Mark, who was called Legion because he had about 6,000 demons, that man was able to run and fall at the feet of Jesus and worship him. I can guarantee you that was not the demons in him that was worshiping Jesus. Even a man who was demon-possessed with approximately 6,000 demons had enough control that he could at least throw himself at the feet of Jesus. This thing to think that you can become so demonized that you have no power, no authority, and you're just totally at the mercy of whoever's casting it out is wrong. Everybody can do something. You got to get the person to resist the devil to be able to get those things cast out. And so there's extremes on both sides. There's a truth that goes down the middle, and that's what I'm trying to strike here. And in the process of start talking about Satan and his power, I'm giving some of these examples to show you that I'm going to counter some things. I'm going to say some really strong things against a lot of the deliverance ministry today. But you know what? I've done most of what I'll be criticizing. And yet God loved me and I loved God and we were seeing some degree of response and we saw some good things happen. But you know what? There's a better way. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm going to probably offend people on both extremes. But there is a right and a wrong way to approach this. And Jesus needs to be our example. Jesus did not go through all these things. Jesus didn't tell somebody, fill out a form and wait 40 days and we'll do something before we can cast these demons out. Jesus didn't have to take a person into a back room and go through all of these rituals and the incantations and the things that some people do today. Actually, once you begin to understand, the Bible says in Psalms chapter 107, verse 20, that He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. The Scripture specifically says that people were delivered through the Word. You can have a person cast demons out for you, but the drawback to that is you don't always have that person around. They aren't always there. The better way to be delivered is to get delivered through the Word. You can take the truth of the Word of God, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I've seen people that had serious demon problems that I would just sit there and minister the Word to them and see this person completely set free. And then I say, all right, now I'll cast the demons out. And they say, you don't need to. They're gone. The truth set them free. I've seen that happen. That's a better way. And when you get a person delivered because they've taken the truth and the Word of God and put it in their heart, you avoid the problem that Jesus spoke about when He said that when you cast out a spirit, it goes about through dry places, but then it wants to return and it brings seven other spirits with Him that are worse than the first. If you cast the demons out of a person against their will or with very little cooperation for them, but they aren't standing, well, then the potential is that those demons are going to come back and be worse. They'll be worse off than they were before. But if you teach a person the truth, you can get a person delivered through the Word of God, Psalms 107, verse 20. And many of you may not even realize it, but as you've watched this program, I've read hundreds or thousands of testimonies of people saying, my life is never the same. Man, I'm delivered from depression and discouragement. People are healed. Relationships are put together. Things are working. You may not have even realized it, but demonic powers who are hindering you in your body, in your finances, in your relationship, as you get hold of the truth. John chapter 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth has been delivering many of you. And many of you may not have realized it. You didn't have any manifestation. You didn't wallow on the floor, scream, or yell. And yet demonic powers are losing their hold because you're hearing the truth and the truth is setting you free. That's a very valid way. Now, sometimes a person can be so far gone and so far possessed by the devil that they literally need a person to help them. But I don't take total responsibility for a person's deliverance anymore. I realize that even Legion fell at the feet of Jesus and worshiped. And I will ask a person, if they say that they need deliverance, they got to do something. They have to renounce the devil. They need to speak and turn against it. And I make the person have some personal responsibility. Man, I've said some really good things today. I know that this is different to many of you and where you're coming from, and you may think this is strange, but if you read the Bible, there's a lot of this in the Bible. Jesus cast a lot of demons out of people. And I've got a lot more to share on this. Tomorrow we're going to get into some scriptures and start showing you about Satan and how he got his authority and power. And this will really embolden you in your battle against the devil. I encourage you to listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can get this new book, the new study guide, the DVDs, the CDs. And please listen and then call or write. And also join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. Request book T735. The Believer's Authority Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T427 when you contact the ministry. Andrew's complete teaching titled, The Believer's Authority, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on DVD for a gift of any amount. Request DVD album T3205D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV. It's available on either CD or DVD when you send a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1045C or DVD album T1045D when you contact us. The second teaching in the audio CD album titled, Who Made Satan? Is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. Request teaching number TL19 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, many of you bear witness, you understand the things that I'm sharing, that there's not a lot of people talking about this, and yet there are demons and we need to know how to deal with them. And many of you are thinking, man, this people need to hear this. I'm doing everything that I can to expose as many people as possible to the truths of God's Word. And it just costs a lot of money. Right now, we are putting about $700,000 a month into just television time. And then it takes about another $700,000 to be able to process all the orders, to fulfill them, to mount, run the phones, to run the data entry. It costs a lot of money. And I'm just asking that if you've been blessed by this, and if you would like to help other people hear these truths, I'd like to ask you to join with me as a partner. We have information on your screen. Please call or write today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd, and Chicago, Illinois, for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 7th through the 9th. He'll also be in Amsterdam for the Eurospirit Conference, May 21st through the 23rd, Raleigh, North Carolina, for a Gospel Truth Seminar, June 11th through the 13th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to come join me at the East Coast Christian Center in Merritt Island, Florida, if you live anywhere remotely close to the Florida area. I've been going to this church for over 10 years, and Pastor Dan and Carolyn Stahlbaum are just tremendous people. They're great friends. You would really be blessed. We're going to have great services. We've got four services on Sunday, 3 in the morning, 1 at night. And then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll be holding services at 7 p.m. each evening. And this is located at 680 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island, Florida. Remember, this is April the 19th through the 22nd, Merritt Island, Florida, at the East Coast Christian Center.